my mind, you just wake up and go rake.
Out to right. This is deep. Andrew McCutchen, it's a three-run homer. Break up the Bucks. The best team in the National League is looking like it against the Dodgers here tonight.
Follow at Wake and Rake Pod on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Here's Danny and Will.
What up, party people? Episode 81, Wake and Rake Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we got the best man alive. He's back. Will Middlebrooks, after a, what, two-week hiatus, jumping around Milwaukee, went to, did you go to Baltimore?
Yeah, got home from Baltimore last night. It's actually pronounced Baltimore. Don't say Baltimore. They'll correct you. It's Baltimore.
It's like saying like, New Orleans.
Almost think like bald head, like Baltimore. I learned that.
So you're local now because you spent, what, 3 days there?
Yeah. Ate lots of crab, though.
You like that kid, like, he goes on this, you know, this international trip when he's in high school, and he comes back and he sees new life and a new perspective. Yeah. And he's
my biggest takeaway from Baltimore was this breakfast place. It's called Blue Moon Cafe. I used to go there all the time when I played, right down the street from the hotel. Also, it is the most show hotel. It was my favorite hotel when I was in the big leagues. It's around the Inner Harbor. It's a Four Seasons. It is like perfect. Perfect hotel. I got a sick corner room. So I had like one of my windows. I had windows like the whole room. One side was looking over the harbor. So across the harbor is like the football stadium, the baseball stadium, all that. And then the other window was just like downtown Baltimore. It was sick. I got lucky. I got a good room. If you go there, ask for room 1619. Show. But anyways, Blue Moon Cafe, right down the street. It's like a quarter mile walk. They have like Eggs Benedict's with crab. It's Baltimore. They have crab everywhere. It's what they're known for.
Baltimore.
They have this thing called Sweet Baby Jesus. Sweet Baby Jesus. It is crispy hash browns, scrambled eggs, I got eggs over medium, a shit ton of crab, hollandaise sauce. I'll have to send you a picture of it so you can put it on the pod. Yeah. It looks like a disaster on a plate, and it was one of the most enjoyable food comas I was ever in. Unreal. Unreal. You go there, gotta go there.
Well, great. While you were having a blast over in Baltimore, still recovering from my Sacramento Kings loss last night in game 5 against the Warriors, but it's not over. They're down 3-2. I still have hope.
The Bruins got beat last night too. They're up 3-2 against Florida Panthers. I went to game 1 of that at TD Garden in Boston. And had a blast. Took one of my buddies, Darnell McDonald, D-Mac. And, playoff hockey. Oh, have you gone to playoff hockey in person?
No.
You got to do it. And you got to do it the right way. You got to go.
Unfortunately, my Sharks have been absent from the playoffs for a few years.
Yeah. That's true. You got to do it in Boston or like a big hockey town.
Speaking of NHL NBA playoffs, betonline.ag is your number one source for all your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest player reports for this year's pro basketball playoffs. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all your sports wagering needs, basketball, MLB, NHL, hockey, right to UFC and boxing. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options, and your favorite casino and card games you can play right from your home. I think I killed that.
Who knew you could read so well? Great job.
I'm not the one that grew up in East Texas like you.
Yeah, that makes it even more impressive that I could read and have all my teeth, and my sisters are distant. So that's more Arkansas, but I grew up on the Texas side of Texarkana, so it's not as big of an issue.
By the way,
what was I getting at?
By the way, head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Be sure to use our promo code BELIEV, BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first discount. Bet online where the game starts. Now we can rate how I did because I forgot the second part.
So 7 out of 10. It was going to be better, but
I did a very good job reading. I just didn't finish.
Yeah. Part of, I just did 2 series in the booth calling games, and part of that is reading promos. And last year was my first time in the booth with the Sox. It's actually a Baltimore series at Fenway. And I was so scared about reading promos. Just because you don't want to sound like a robot. You also don't want to stutter through it, mispronounce things. Yeah. It's gotten so much better. Now it's like a breeze. Like, I'm like, give them to me. But and a lot of times it's a lot of the same stuff. So it's fine. But I was so nervous about that last year. And now it's easy now. Who knew I could read? Not me.
One thing I've noticed, not to say that this is Bet Online, but one thing that I've learned and been told is that a lot of times the companies don't actually pay attention to if you're reading the Now, the Red Sox broadcast might be a little different. They're probably paying attention to that. My own personal podcast.
I mean, these are like Xfinity, much. Chevy. Like, right.
Those are bigger deals for sure.
Yeah, these are pretty big companies.
Well, you know what? There's a lot that's happened over the last couple of weeks that we haven't discussed much because you've been so busy. The Oakland A's potentially moving to Vegas. Max Scherzer's in a sticky situation. The fucking Pirates are in first place in the Atlantic Central, and they're spending money. The hell's going on in Pittsburgh?
You know what? The Pirates came in and swept the Red Sox the second series of the year, and everyone's like, the Red Sox are terrible. Boo, you know, and now we're like, never mind. They actually played the Pirates pretty closely. Pirates are a good team. So you don't feel as bad about that sweep. It's not good, but cool story.
You watched a few teams on your little cross-country road. Yeah. You mentioned Baltimore. You watched Milwaukee.
Yeah, so my trip started. The Angels were at Fenway. Mm-hmm. So I got to see
Bad weather.
Yeah, bad weather. It was cold. It was rainy. We also had a reunion for our 2013 World Series team.
Yeah, that was cool.
Which was a blast. Got to see all the guys hang out in town, go to dinner. Most of the team was there. That was while the Angels were there. So got to talk to Trouty a little bit, catch up with him. It was always cool to see that guy just because I knew him. We played in the Arizona Fall League together back when he was just a kid, like literally like 19 years old, 20 years old, 19. He was 19. And it's the best player in the world. One of the best players in the world because the other best player in the world was on his team. And seeing that guy in person, seeing that guy pitch, oh my God, he's so special, man. I mean, it's nothing we don't know. We talk about it every day, but to see him actually in person was crazy. To walk right past him and you realize how big he is. And then he's like the fastest guy on their team too. It's insane. His shoulders, dude, his shoulders are like so wide. Yeah. He's just a monster. I don't understand how he's even like real.
How was the paparazzi?
The Japanese media was insane because the Red Sox have Masataka Yoshida as well.
Oh, that's
and
right.
They played with each other and against each other in Japan for, you know, five, six. Let's see. Yoshida was playing in the NPB for 7 years. I don't know how long Otani was there. Probably similar amount of time, 5 or 6 years. So they played against each other a lot. So the Japanese media was wild. There's a lot of Japanese fans there too. So outside of Fenway, where the opposing team bus is, there was just like, it wasn't just Japanese people, but there's so many people waiting to just see Otani and see Trout and just like be 20 feet away from two of the best players to ever walk the earth. It's pretty cool.
So Mike Trout, how's he feeling mentally right now? Because there's a lot of pressure on the Angels. Otani is likely going to be a free agent at year's end. And he's already mentioned that if they aren't in contention,
yeah,
he probably sees Otani going elsewhere. So did you talk to him about that at all?
No, I didn't. But also knowing him, he didn't really. I don't think he really gets too deep into that.
He just plays ball.
He just plays ball. And I think, I mean, Otani's gone, man. I don't think they're going to be in the mix, to be honest. I hope they are. I hope they are because I want them in the playoffs. If this is the last chance, it's most likely the last time that even if they win, I don't see them keeping him. I just don't think it makes sense for their organization to spend that much money because look how much they're paying them the last few years and they still can't build around them.
Yeah.
So you're paying them 50 plus a year.
For the longest time, it was the starting rotation that was holding them back. Now all of a sudden, it's the
Sandoval's a real deal too.
For sure. And the rotation's much better this year. And now this year, it's the bullpen's blown a few leads. And then the offense around Trout and Otani hasn't been there. There's always something with this team, you know?
Yeah, just, I don't know, man. Texas came out of the gate top, but they've lost three in a row
yeah.
as of today. I still think Houston wins that division. I think they had a slow start, but they're going to be Houston. They're going to pitch. They have experience, so they're going to win that division. But I think Texas is a real threat to go to the postseason. I'm pretty sure that was one of my dark horses, too. Let's not forget about that.
You got to remember, too, though, their rotation is healthy right now. So
at the moment,
all it takes is a couple injuries to that rotation. And
yeah, DeGrom, Evaldi, those guys go down, of course. Yeah,
but that's the case for a lot of teams, too. You know what I mean? Like, that's most teams. Not just Texas, but those guys do have an injury history. Like,
Oakland, who else did I see?
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Oakland potentially moving to Vegas. You talked about the American League West. I just wanted to not look over that.
It sucks, but it was inevitable, to be honest. It sucks for the fans that are still invested in the team, which most people have given up at this point because they refuse to spend money. And who wants to pay money to go watch a team that the ownership just doesn't give a shit about?
And they're terrible.
And they're like historically, like might be one of the worst teams of all time. Might be the worst team of all time. We're going to be going back to like the 1800s to find teams that lost 120 games. What would like the, it was the first year of the New York Mets. I think they lost 120 games.
I have a stat for you here. Shout out to my boy, Corey Fallon. Through the first 20 games, the Oakland A's had the worst run differential.
It was 100, wasn't it?
It was negative 95 through the first 20.
Okay.
And that was the worst since 1901. It's before Babe Ruth, people. It's not good.
They're 5-20 right now.
Like, they're getting up 8 runs a game. They're pitching. You know what's weird, too, is I don't know if you've seen Fujinaka. The dude throwing 95 mile an hour splitters at 99 mile.
Oh yeah, no, he's good, but it's like, who cares?
But it's so straight and it's so in the middle.
You know who I feel bad for is Mark Kotze.
I mean, it's an impossible situation.
He's just gonna have to wear it because the next 2 years until they move, they're not gonna pay a new manager. It's not like they care about winning.
Yeah.
So Kotze, who he was my hitting coach when I was in San Diego, and he's just one of the most genuine baseball loving, this great human beings. In the game of baseball. So I hate that he's having to go through this because people are going to always, he's always going to be connected to this team and one of the historically bad teams. And I don't think he's a bad coach. He has a AA team.
No joke.
playing in the big leagues. So yeah,
like we joke about that. Like, oh dude, they're like, they couldn't even beat a minor league team. We talk about that sometimes with some bad teams. This team legitimately is not a major league ball club. There's about 5 guys, you can count them on one hand, that are true everyday major league players.
And it's kind of unfair to these kids, too, because they should be developing in the minor leagues, and now it's costing them, they're accruing big league service time, which is great. They're making more money, which is great. But it's going to be hard for them to get a job because people are going to say, man, the last 3 years you're hitting .190. Well, yeah, it should have been double-A, triple-A developing against similar competition. And then get to the big league. So it's like some of these guys are getting there too early. They're not ready and they're getting crushed. And the back of their baseball card is going to look like shit. And it's going to affect the rest of their career and the projection of their career. So there's a lot of dominoes that have fallen that just aren't good for that organization.
Yeah. And a lot of people looking from the outside in are thinking, well, their attendance sucks. Of course they're going to move. The fans aren't showing up. That's true to a degree, but I'm going to toss in some audio here. I kind of broke down the Oakland A's situation last week. I'm going to toss that audio in because from the outside in, you're right. The fans aren't showing up, but it's a little bit deeper than that. If you think the Oakland A's are moving to Vegas because of a lack of fans, you could not be more misinformed. Here are the facts. John Fisher's group purchased the A's in 2005. The season before Fisher took over, the A's averaged more than 27,000 fans at home, 19th in baseball. Their opening day payroll in 2002, that's 2 decades ago, was $39.7 million. 20 years later, it went down to $32.5 million. John Fisher purchased the franchise for $180 million. Despite having both the lowest payroll in baseball and attendance, the A's are now worth $1.18 billion. Meanwhile, Oakland ownership raised season ticket prices by nearly double. That's despite trading away fan favorites and MLB All-Stars like Matt Chapman and Matt Olson and Sean Murphy, because they refused to spend money. The largest contract the Oakland A's have ever handed out was to Eric Chavez, 6 years, $66 million. That was back in 2004, 1 year before John Fisher took over. According to Casey Pratt's report, the city of Oakland was asked to raise $352 million in an effort to build a new stadium at Howard Terminal. The city of Oakland raised $375 million. Oakland Mayor Shane Tao said she believes the A's never intended to stay. Instead, she said the A's were simply using them as, quote, leverage. Fans have been lied to, aided with slogans like Rooted in Oakland, in Hollywood movies, in renderings of ballpark sites in Alameda, Howard Terminal, and San Jose. Now, we could sit here and point fingers at Major League Baseball for incentivizing Fisher with things like revenue sharing, or the city of Oakland for mostly being in a bad state in regards to homicide and crime rights and financials, etc., etc. But one thing is for certain. Helpless Oakland sports fans have sat back with unrivaled loyalty and watched their teams pack their bags. And perhaps the biggest beneficiary, financially speaking at least, has been none other than Oakland A's owner, John Fisher. Move on. You watch Milwaukee. Now, Pittsburgh's in first place now. Milwaukee has been in first place much of this year. Are they a first place team, or is it kind of smoke and mirrors right now?
I mean, they pitch.
They pitch.
Brandon Woodruff.
Even without Woodruff.
Even without Woodruff. And Burns against Boston didn't have his good stuff.
Yeah.
He wasn't landing his cutter. He had a lot of uncompetitive pitches. He was just off. You know, he was coming off that peck. I don't know if that was bothering him or not. If I look at that division, I'm not surprised that the Chicago Cubs are playing good baseball. I kind of had them pegged as a playoff contender.
You did. You had that.
I am surprised that the Cardinals have been this bad. And while we're talking about the Cardinals, we have to talk about Jordan Walker.
Yeah.
All right. Let's remember, service time manipulation doesn't just happen at the beginning of this, like into spring training, April 1st. It doesn't just happen there when they send guys down for 2 weeks and then call them up. It can still happen. The guy's hitting 274, right?
Yeah.
He just finished up like a massive hitting streak. I know he's not playing great defense. He's never been said to be a great defender, but he can hit. He's hitting. He's not struggling.
A 718 OPS is... It's not great, but for a kid,
no, the power will come, dude. Right. I'm telling. I would rather a guy be a good hitter first than hit for a ton of power, but hit 200 at this point in his career, because he's shown that he can control an at bat, he can see pitches, he can go the other way, and he's not up there just like swinging out of his ass. So that shows me he has a mature approach, and that with his size and strength, power is going to come along with everything else. So. This is just them. I guarantee they're going to take a month off his service time. They might even do it again next year if they don't need him. It's just weird because right now they're playing bad ball. Why would you take away somebody who's hitting 275? I don't know.
I think a lot of it is they have so much offensive depth. Like when
they
Walker's,
do.
Like when Walker's in a lineup, you got to sit either Dylan Carlson or Newt Barr. Paul DeJong just came back. Like they have, it's a good problem to have. But
well,
their pitching
then at this
is
point, well, they should trade for another arm. Then
their pitching has been trash so far,
right?
Like Matz, Michaelis, Woodford, like it's been bad.
Yeah.
So it's not the offense that's struggling. So I think Cardinals are thinking, well, we have enough offense right now. Like that's not the issue. Why don't we send them down? Maybe save a couple pennies along the way.
Well, it's not even saving. Well, it's going to save pennies eventually. Say he's down for a month or two, and then maybe next year misses a month or two, and then all of a sudden he's not going to get to that super two arbitration. He's going to have to, so they'll have 3 full years of control instead of two. And then that saves them an extra year of him making league minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you really manipulate the service time.
I hate overreacting from it's not even May.
Yeah. Okay. So that's another point is like snap reactions in April are ridiculous. Like I think the best way to look at April is nothing matters, but it all counts.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to put it. Like
I like that.
It's not it doesn't matter, but it all counts. Like you can lose a game now and maybe miss the playoffs by one game. So and you're not going to think back to the games you lost in April because you feel like it doesn't matter, but it counts. Yeah. So you're always going to think, man, we lost that game 2 days ago in the end of September and now we're out. No, what about you played shitty against a bad team in April? You know, no one thinks of it that way.
Who told you that? Because there's no way you came up with it. I don't believe it.
I heard it somewhere along the lines. I don't know who.
There it is.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm not saying I made it up.
I know you're.
I definitely
your
just
brain
like
didn't find that.
I heard it a long time ago. It's just kind of stuck in my head.
Stealing other people's content like you do.
Okay.
The Pirates being at the top of the division.
With no O'Neill Cruz.
With no O'Neill Cruz. And they're pitching, which was my biggest thing. I picked the over. I believe, if I remember correctly, I want to say their over-under win total was like 67. And I remember I picked the over because I thought their offense was actually a bit underrated.
I now, picked the over too, I believe.
I think so. But that was with O'Neill Cruz in the lineup. And then we both agreed too, though, that they just don't have enough pitching. But all of a sudden, Mitch Keller's looking pretty nice in the rotation. And like the bullpen's good. And like they're doing the little things.
Right.
So the lineup's decent enough, and then the pitching's doing enough right now. And it right now, that division is winnable because the Cardinals, who were the favorite to win a division, are in last place behind the Reds, behind the Cubs, yeah, behind the Pirates. Like, that's surprising. So
also April.
And the Pirates, who are known to be a small market team, I put in quotation marks, they gave Key Brian Hayes a $70 million extension last year. And now they just extended Brian Reynolds to a $106 million extension.
Finally, it was about time
this year. But now they're spending money in Pittsburgh. And I know that their owner and Bob Nutting gets a lot of criticism, but he deserves credit here.
At our 2013 reunion, our GM at the time was Ben Cherington.
Right.
He was there. So I got to sit down and talk to him a lot. And he had so many good things to say about just like the team and like what they've been building, and glad like people are sticking with them because they're on their way. Clearly, I think another good sign was, I mean, obviously bringing back Andrew McCutchen. He has 5 homers in April. He's never, at this point in the season in his career, he's never had 5 homers, which is weird to think about considering he won an MVP, but he's got an 881 OPS right now. He was just supposed to be a veteran plug in to help these young kids. Same as Rich Hill, you know. Rich Hill's given up a lot of homers. He's not exactly pitching great, but somebody who's probably just as old as Andrew McCutchen, Drew Maggi.
Yeah, that was a cool
spot. He got his first day in the show.
The Pirates are leading in vibes this season, without a doubt. Storylines, vibes.
You know what was so tired? I think it was Hunter Wendelstedt, the umpire, giving him the hitter violation for the second strike of his at-bat. Like, come on, dude. I know. This is like the biggest moment of this guy's life. Oh, strike one, you weren't alert to the pitcher. Or strike two. Strike one, he like swung out of his ass and just fouled off a fastball. Strike two, hitter violation, and then he struck out. But regardless, bravo, kid. Not kid, dude, guy, man. You're not a kid. 13 years in the minor leagues?
Yeah. The coolest part, too, is he's actually gotten called up to the big leagues before, but he didn't get an at-bat, so he never played.
Right. Yeah.
Which sucks. Like, you get called to the big leagues, like, it's this great moment. And yeah, you can say you're a big league player, but until you have a stat line, it doesn't feel real.
Something that is, like, going to get swept under the rug and not paid attention to is how much Derek Shelton has been, like, into this. Like, you watch how he's, like, welcomed him and hugged him and, like, how, like, he embraces him. Number one, it shows he's a really good manager. Number two, it shows how much this moment means, and he understands the magnitude of it, and he's like helping make it more special for him. I thought that was pretty cool.
One thing I thought was interesting that Jeff Passan pointed out in an article with ESPN is that teams with low payrolls right now, with the exception of the Oakland A's, of course, are succeeding. 29th payroll in baseball, the Orioles. They're second in the American League East. They have one of the best records in the American League. Tampa Bay Rays, first place in the American League, first place in Major League Baseball. They have the 28th highest payroll. And then the Pirates at 27th. So the 27th, 28th, three of the four lowest payrolls in baseball are either in first place or second place in their division. It's early. Like we mentioned, it's only May. And then not to mention the Cleveland Guardians at 25th. Miami Marlins at 22nd. Marlins are playing some decent baseball. So I don't know if that's good for baseball or not, because we do this every year. Come September, a team with a low payroll sneaks into the playoffs, and we're all like, oh my gosh, what a great accomplishment this is. But it's also completely looking over the fact that front office is not investing in the team.
Right. It's there's a way to look at it. So there's a couple ways to look at it. Are they not investing in older elite players, but maybe they've invested more into their scouting and their minor league system and their coaching, and they're learning how to develop young players. So at this point in the development of their organization, all those superstars that they've developed are just young.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the Adley Rushmans, like the Ryan Mountcastles, like all those guys, Gunnar Henderson. I'm talking about the Orioles just because I just saw them, but all these guys are making league minimum and they're young players. I think most teams would take all three of those guys and plug them into their lineup. So it's like, it's just kind of the point they're at. Yes, they could have gone out and spent a ton of money on elite talent, super, but they've been like building. So they don't have to. So it looks like they're not spending money, yet they've been developing these players. It's kind of been part of their process to get good again.
Yeah.
So the Orioles didn't do much this offseason, right? They brought in, what's his name? Gibson.
Yeah.
Why am I blanking?
Kyle Gibson.
Kyle Gibson. Right? Is it Kyle? Doesn't sound right.
Sure.
Anyways, he's been really good for them. But like, they didn't really go out and spend much money on players in the offseason. People are like, oh man, they're going to suck. They're a really good team.
Both of us agreed that we were underwhelmed by Baltimore's offseason.
We were underwhelmed, but I felt like I think maybe they just saw, like, we're one more year of developing these young studs, and then we're ready to win. Like, I think part of when you are investing into big-time talent in the offseason, you have to not only look at your team, but you have to look at the other teams in your division.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at the other teams and where they're at in their progression in the playoff race. And if you say, like, I don't know if we're not going to win the division. Like, if everything goes right, maybe, but everything goes right. So you're not going to go all in unless you feel like we have a chance to win a World Series. Does that make sense? So it's like, they don't think they're there yet, and they don't want to pour it all in the pot yet and waste that year when really this is another development year for this young group. Now, next year when they're ready, it's like, this next offseason is going to be interesting to see what Baltimore does if they are the second wild card team, because right now it kind of looks like they're on pace to be that team. I don't know. It's a lot of baseball left to see, and a lot of this kind of plays out and we figure it out as it goes, but I don't know. Or the Orioles are interesting to me.
You want to, just for shits and giggles, you want to hear who the top free agents are this upcoming offseason?
It's not a big offseason, I don't think, right?
Other than Ohtani, obviously.
Right.
So Ohtani's obviously going to be the most sought after free agent.
He's not going to Baltimore.
You never know. Julio Rios. Max Scherzer. Aaron Nola. Jung-Hoo Lee, who's in Japan. Luis Severino, Matt Chapman, Teoscar Hernandez, Blake Snell, Clayton Kershaw. So,
kind of like second tier.
Yeah. Huh. So, it's
but like second tier stars, like superstars.
Yeah. Like,
I only say that because a lot of those guys are at the end.
Yeah. Like this last year, Bogarts, Turner.
It's more pitcher heavy this upcoming year. Yeah.
Correa, for sure.
Yeah. The shortstop class is gone.
What do you make of the White Sox just being a total disaster of an organization right now?
I mean, they just continue to kick their fans in the nuts.
They were a really good team less than 2 years ago. Really good team.
Pretty sure I said they were going to miss the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I think you did. If you hit the under on their win total, you're looking pretty good right now.
I don't remember. I had the Guardians winning that division.
Andrew Benintendi signed a $75 million contract this year. That's the largest contract that the White Sox have ever handed.
They've never, aren't they one of the three or four teams that never gave out a $100 million contract?
Yeah. So Oakland, Chicago, and Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Man, I hate it. Just go back.
Wait. No. Not Baltimore. Not Baltimore.
Oh, no. It's not Baltimore.
Chris Davis.
Chris Davis got it. Hold on. I have this stat. I stand corrected.
Hold on.
Okay, I have it. Do you want to guess?
Oakland?
So Oakland, Chicago, and there's one more team. You could probably guess it.
Hold on. Tampa gave it to Wander Franco.
Uh,
Cleveland definitely gave one to.
They gave two, Jimenez and Jose Ramirez.
Jimenez, that's right.
You're in the right division.
Kansas City.
Yep.
Yeah.
There she is.
I skipped right over them for some reason. I'd already moved on to the West.
One more kind of note that ties into our Oakland ties here is that so I looked at the largest contract that each team has given out, each MLB club, and I looked at what year they gave out those contracts. So 75% of the league has given out their largest contracts within the last 4 years, right? So since 2019, most of the league has given out the largest because teams continually spend money,
right?
And then with the exceptions of like the Cincinnati Reds gave out their largest contract in 2012 to Joey Votto. The Giants gave out their largest contract in 2013 to Buster Posey. Before 2012, though, there's only one team that gave out the largest contract before 2012.
And that Texas Rangers?
No. So the Rangers just gave out a ton of money. Corey Seager is the largest contract they gave out.
Oh, right. I was thinking like A-Rod and I got
right.
You.
Oakland, 2004.
Okay, hold on.
$66 million, six-year deal.
Hold on. Damn. Six for 66? That's pretty... 666, huh?
Yeah.
That's Barry Zito?
Nope.
That was a good guess, though.
You must have watched Moneyball, didn't you?
What year was that?
2004. So,
look, David Justice. Who is this?
Eric Chavez.
Oh my God. I would have never guessed that.
Yeah.
Wow.
But like, largest contracts.
Isn't it Chavez?
Chavez, whatever, man.
I'm just
somebody else. Tomato, yeah?
Yeah, not really. It's his name.
It's Baltimore. Why are you all of a sudden a language police?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'll lay
you
off.
You're just woke Will now. Woke Will. We're gonna have a new segment called Woke Will.
Yeah, let's not. I'm not.
As you wear your camo Cody Jenks hat.
Yeah, I'm not. That's not me.
Every team has given out their largest contract since 2012 or recent, except for the Oakland A's 2004. All right. It's enough on the Oakland A's. We can move on. Do you find it interesting that the Minnesota Twins, who you watched, have a total of two stolen bases this year as a team? Two. One, two.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah. I mean,
that's clearly by strategy.
I'd be surprised if anybody. I mean, that's got to be the lowest in baseball.
For sure. By long, yeah.
By like 10, probably.
Yes. The next biggest has five.
Red Sox don't have many.
Team stolen bases. Twins are by far in last place with two. The Rockies have five. Red Sox have 10. And they're 27. Yeah. That's weird. Especially when you consider they have Byron Buxton, who I know they're not wanting to push because
I'm saying, hey, bud, don't run. Stay healthy. Because I need you to hit 30 homers and drive in 100.
It's just interesting with the new rules, the large bases, the disadvantage rules, and you have two stolen bases. And look, it's not like it's hurting them. They're in first place in the division. I just found that interesting.
Yeah, I'm just looking like at their roster right now, trying to figure out. I mean, they don't really have many guys that would run. What about Gordon?
I don't know if he's really an everyday player form right now.
Well, yeah, he's hitting .115. That's why. Yeah. I mean, Christian Vasquez isn't running. Joey Gallo can run, but he's not going to at this point. No. Correa's not going to run anymore. Like, he'll run every once in a while. I feel like Kepler might be able to run a little bit, but
Taylor could run a little bit.
Yeah, Michael Taylor. Yeah. By the way, he's much bigger in person than I thought.
Really? I didn't.
He's every bit of like my height and like good sized dude. He looks smaller on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a big dude.
He's one of the best defensive center fielders of this era.
You know who I was really. The numbers don't support this statement yet, but I think they will. Someone you should keep your eye on over the next year or two. Joey Weimer, Milwaukee Brewer center fielder.
Oh, yeah. I remember texting my
buddy. Big, just like.
He had a walk-off hit, and I said it really sucks that his name is Weimer because he probably got made fun of a lot as a kid.
Dude, he's massive. And he flies. He flies. He swings out of his ass. I really like his swing. He's only 24 years old. He's like, he's listed at 6'4". I walked past him outside their clubhouse, and he's every bit of 6'5", probably 230, and he's jacked. And he, like, he can fly. I was really, he's got two or three stolen bases, not a ton, but he went back and robbed Alex Verdugo on the wall, like crashing the, he's like electric player. He's just young and he's trying to figure it all out. But once he puts it all together, I think he's going to be like really good. So that's what my takeaway from Milwaukee Brewers. But
what do you think of Tatis making his return and then dancing in right field to the steroid chants in Chicago, Wrigley Field?
I mean, everybody is going to handle that kind of thing differently.
Yeah.
I mean, good for him to be able to like just kind of shake it off, because otherwise it would eat you alive. I think that's just his way of coping with it. It looks kind of tired and just like dumb, but at the same time, like, I don't care. I'm kind of, he's a fun, exciting player, but I'm just kind of off him now, for being honest. I think he's fine. I think he's still good for the game. I think he's, for the entertainment value of the game, for the product of baseball, he's great for it. I'm just, that is going to be like in the back of my head all the time now. Every time he hits a homer, every time he makes an all-star team, I'm just going to be like, is this going to matter at the end of his career? Because he's not going to get in the Hall of Fame. So,
yeah, I think he will. If he goes on to have a Hall of Fame type career after this,
that goes against everything that's ever been voted on for the Hall of Fame. So, well, just let me say this.
All right.
I think if he goes on to have a Hall of Fame career and doesn't fail another test, yes, he should.
Yeah.
He should. I think Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame too, but he's not.
Yeah.
And he never actually failed a test.
Yeah.
Everyone knew he was doing it, but he had never actually failed a test. So, and he's not in.
That's like saying we know that little Johnny is cheating on all of his spelling bee tests, but if you can't prove it, then you can't prove it. Like if he's getting A pluses on every single one of his tests.
No, I get it.
Swear he's cheating, but you can't prove it, then you can't.
Except what if, so, okay. So what if they had proven that Bonds cheated? You'd be like even more like, no, he can't get in, right?
If you can't prove it with an MLB conducted test.
No. I'm saying if they did prove it on Barry Bonds,
yeah,
you'd be like, oh yeah, he doesn't deserve in.
I think that there should be like an area in the Hall of Fame.
No,
like
that's
there's
not,
an
no,
asterisk basically.
Okay, and Tatis would fall in that category?
Yeah.
Okay, so we can agree on that.
Yeah.
Okay. I just had to get beat around the bush to get you to say that.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Yeah. So that sucks. Like I from a baseball fan perspective, like it crushed me that he got banged for PED because he is like one of the faces of baseball. And that sucks because to me, that's like takes him off the list. Just because like, I don't know, man. We don't have to keep talking about it. I sound like an old man yelling at a cloud right now, but the integrity of the game is important to me. So he's still a great player. He's still fun to watch. I'm glad he's back. I will continue to enjoy watching him do his thing. I just wish he hadn't cheated. That's all. Same with Nelson Cruz. A lot of people forget about him. Oh, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
No.
He failed a test. He's a great player. He's a good dude. I like him a lot. But he cheated.
My whole point is that what saved Tatis and his Hall of Fame candidacy is that he got popped when he was only 23. So he still has 15 years potentially to put that in the rearview mirror, essentially.
I would also say I would not be surprised if he ends up getting popped again in his career.
You can't say that, though.
I can say I wouldn't be surprised. What do you mean? I didn't say he's going to. I said I wouldn't be surprised if he did. So I could, that's something I can definitely say. It's, that wasn't me saying he's going to get popped again. I'm saying if it does happen again, I'm going to be like, kind of saw that coming.
Recent history. All right. We're closing up shop. You want to talk about the Baltimore Orioles bullpen, though, before.
Oh, my God. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah.
Cano, what's his first name? Looks like Yenier. Yenier Cano?
Yeah, hasn't given up a base runner all year. Yenier Cano.
See, I think he's pitched in 7 games.
Yeah.
He hasn't given up a hit. Yeah. I don't even know how. And last year, he hadn't given up a walk. Base runner, I know. Yeah. But last year, he had command issues. He was with Minnesota for a little bit. Had some, couldn't throw strikes, nasty stuff. Well, now he's throwing strikes. And when I tell you he is throwing 95, 96, 97 mile per hour sideways balls, he's throwing his shit down the middle and it's just like almost hitting guys. It's so nasty. Some swings against him this past series were just ridiculous. His changeup's really good. Slider's pretty good. His changeup's is good secondary pitch. But then they have Felix Bautista coming in throwing 101. They're legit. They have a lefty. Last name's Cologne. Cologne. Very good lefty. You have to look up his stuff, but his breaking ball is like nasty, nasty. He's like 65% slider curveball.
Danny Cologne.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I want to say like 65% breaking ball, and you know it's coming, and it's still hard to hit it.
What do you think about Tyler Wells?
So Tyler Wells, I think, is their best starting pitcher. I was, he threw yesterday, the day game on Wednesday. And he's on his pitch at like 92 to 94, but his fastball plays like it's every bit of 97 because he spins it, stays at the top of the zone, doesn't really come down. He goes above a bunch of barrels. Secondary stuff was good, but I thought his fastball was his best pitch. And I mean, through 3 or 4 starts this year, he's been, in my opinion, their best arm. And Kyle Gibson's throwing the ball well, but I think Tyler Wells is going to end up being their best pitcher this year. Yeah, they're legit, man. They're good. They're young, but their lineup also, they didn't strike out at all against Chris Sale. Yesterday against Tanner Houck, who has been one of the best pitchers for the Red Sox this year, who has really good swing and miss stuff. They only swung and missed twice.
Impressive.
Yeah, and through 6 innings, they only swung and missed like once.
Okay, so I won't ask you who's the best team in the league. I'll ask you who's the best team that you've seen this year.
Well, the best team I've seen was Baltimore.
Baltimore. And you think they're the best team in the league?
No.
No.
In the league? You're trying to get me, man. You're trying to get me to like, you're the content king over there, trying to get me to say something and put me on a poster.
I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. They're the best team in the league?
No. I'm your best PR guy.
The Blue Jays are really good. Tampa Bay, who I missed bad on. I said, and I think a lot of people are on the same page with me when I said Tampa Bay is taking a step back this year. 20-5. They finally lost a game at home. I think they lost their second game at home yesterday because Houston took 2 games. They lost 1-0 yesterday, and the day before they lost like 6-0 because I think Luis Garcia threw a gem. But I mean, they're just relentless. The runs, obviously that's not sustainable. What they were doing, but they're still a 105 win team. I think Baltimore's a 95 win team. So,
all right, you have 15 seconds. Tell me what you thought of the Max Scherzer situation, sticky situation.
I just think it was handled wrong by MLB. I think if there is a MLB official under there with him as he's washing his hands and tell him it's okay to wash your hands off and get it off with alcohol, which knowingly makes rosin stickier,
yeah,
that is on MLB. Don't tell him that's okay to do and then throw him out of the game for doing it. You can make rosin so sticky if you're really sweaty. Like literally the ball like stick to your hand, sticky, with just rosin and sweat. It builds up over time. That's why it was built up and they had him go wash it off. Shouldn't have told him to use alcohol because he's smart. He's like, well, you told me to do it.
Right. Do it.
And then it's like, well, it was even stickier after that. Yeah. Your MLB official watched him do it. So bad look. I think league also making a example out of an elite pitcher, future Hall of Famer. So it's a bad look, in my opinion. I thought it was stupid. It shouldn't have happened. It's got to be handled different by the league. I don't think Scherzer was like trying to cheat. I think this was, he's always super sweaty out there.
So that shouldn't affect Scherzer's Hall of Fame candidacy, though.
Are you serious? No.
Ask the question.
That's a ridiculous question.
Just a question.
Yeah, that's, you should honestly edit that question out of this, because that's that bad.
All right. Fair enough.
It's not like he got caught with spider tech in his back pocket. Like, this, he wasn't taking steroids.
All right.
You honestly think that?
No, I don't. I'm just asking the question. I don't.
You think I would think that? You? Why would you ask that?
Because why not?
Oh my God! You get my blood boiling sometimes.
That's what I'm here to do. Thank you guys for tuning into the Wake and Rake podcast, presented by Bet Online. Go enjoy some time with your girls. You deserve it. Don't miss me too much in the meantime, all right, bud?
I won't, man. Promise.